cable from the core. Talk about the current navigation project. Do you have a document in that path out? You can go through it.
Okay, thank you, Rob. There are, from the Corps Planning Office, two handouts going around. One in blue, covers navigation, and the one with the sort of tan header on the top covers the environmental restoration program. I'll be going through the navigation work, and following that, John Canelli and Wendy Gendron will be going through the ecosystem program. Well, you all know what we do. At the direction of Congress, we study, construct, and maintain public navigation infrastructure for commercial navigation. These are the kinds of things we do: channels, turning basins, anchorages, breakwaters, jetties. Costing over $10 million. It's directed by Congress, both in terms of studies, design, construction, authorization. The smaller stuff under $10 million, there are delegated authorities for the Corps to study and construct these projects on their own. The implementation process is similar, although for large-scale projects, you don't do an initial study. You jump right into feasibility and then design. Plans and specifications and finally construction. You need some congressional involvement both at the beginning for feasibility and to transition from design into construction. Three things on the large-scale congressionally authorized type of work in Maine: Searsport, Portsmouth, and Portland. First up, we all know what Searsport consists of. Study to deepen the port beyond 35 feet. The project is currently on hold. It's been suspended, and the Corps and DOT are working to try to define a way forward, working with the upper team at the Corps and within DOT. So right now we're not moving forward on this at the moment, but we expect to, in the near future, resume work here. Portsmouth, the Turning Basin expansion, most of the work is on the main side of the river. This project has not been authorized by Congress yet, but a chief's report has been submitted to Congress, and the project is currently in the design phase. Portland, we have an open resolution, which there was last a report on in 1987, which said after the million-dollar bridge gets replaced, the state should consider bringing us back in to look at this again. That has not happened yet, but every year we remind you that there's an open resolution if the state and the cities want to take advantage of that. Dredge material placement. It's always good to run through how this system works. It can get a little complicated. The interplay of the Clean Water Act and the Ocean Dumping Act depend on where you are with relation to the territorial sea baseline and the territorial sea. I'll run through a couple of examples. The territorial sea baseline is either the shoreline at high water or it's a line drawn across the mouth of a bay. That is the line from which the 3-mile limit of the territorial sea is measured. So if it's inside the baseline, this example, Saco Bay, is inside the baseline. It is regulated by the state primarily under the Clean Water Act. If it's outside the 3-mile limit, it's regulated by the Corps and EPA under the Ocean Dumping Act. If it's between the baseline and the 3-mile limit, both regulatory formula apply. The state still has its responsibilities under the Clean Water Act, but the federal government, the Corps and EPA, must do their regulation under the Ocean Dumping Act. So as you can see, the Cape Arundel site lies just inside the 3-mile limit. So both the federal government and the state have a regulatory responsibility for that. The same sort of view. This is off of Casco Bay. It shows where the Portland dump site is. It crosses over the 3-mile limit. Most of what the Corps does is placed seaward of the 3-mile limit when we do a disposal operation. And again, off the mouth of Penobscot Bay, it gets quite confused here because of all of the islands that exist offshore. But you can see where the baseline is and where the 3-mile limit is. Our small navigation program. We currently have a number of activities in Maine. Blue Hill is a dredging project we're studying. Camden is a breakwater. Big Island is a dredging project. Sawbell we'll talk about in a minute, is a primarily shore protection project. And Belfast is a 107 request for the city that's awaiting funding as a new start. This is the implementation process for small-scale projects. As I mentioned, it's a little bit different since the Water Resources Act of 2014 changed how we look at the larger projects, but it left the smaller-scale continuing authorities projects alone. So we still have an initial appraisal phase at federal expense to decide if there's something the federal government feels maybe in its interest to look at. After that, you move into feasibility, which is cost shared 50-50 with a non-federal sponsor. After that, you move into design, plans and specifications, and then construction. Both of those phases are cost shared according to the project depth. This is a formula that's in the Water Resources Act of 86. Most of what we do in Maine is less than 20 feet, so it's cost shared 90% federal, 20% non-federal. And maintenance of these is 100% federal once they've been constructed. This is shown in a graph view. It's in your handout. Makes it a little easier to see how things fall with respect to the timeline and the cost sharing. First up here is Blue Hill. This is a small navigation project under Section 107. We executed a feasibility cost-sharing agreement with the town of Blue Hill. They're our sponsor. We've done hydrographic surveys, and we've done our first round of sediment sampling and testing. Came up with a problem up in the where the turning basin was located in the original plan. Looks like there's some gasoline contamination in the surface sediments. The Corps and the town are coordinating with DEP to try to figure out what, if anything, can be done about that. Our other options are to just move the turning basin to the south on the other side of the channel where there doesn't appear to be contamination. Camden Harbor was recently approved by the Corps headquarters and division to go into feasibility. This is a breakwater study. We provided the town with a copy of the report and the preliminary project management plan for feasibility and the model cost-sharing agreement. The town of Camden now needs to decide if they want to pay for half the cost of the feasibility study moving forward. This is a project we have twice in the past proposed to the town, in the late 40s and again in the late 60s, early 70s. Both times the town declined to construct the project, and those were at completion of feasibility. Here they have the same question before them. Do you want to do it this time? And this time you got to pay for half the cost of the study. If they decide to do so, then we'll move forward with this. Richard Beebe Island, this is a channel project. The sponsors are the town of Reed Island, Uganda Trust. We were looking at dredging a channel into the wharf that the ferry uses. I believe the town has decided not to pursue the anchorage idea, but we'll hear what they have to say. Similar to Camden, this one has been approved to move into feasibility, and the town has been presented with the feasibility documents, and they have to make a decision. Do you want to share half the cost of the feasibility study or not? Saco River. This one was hung up for a while with the Fish and Wildlife Service over the endangered species. Not the shorebirds that we can work around, but whether or not there might be bats or rabbits at the quarries that might be used that we get the sand from. Since we're nowhere near construction, we don't know who our contractor would sub to for the sand. So that is an open issue, and we'll have to be left to that. But we have begun updating the report. There's a better map in the handout. What the project is to construct the southernmost of those, what appear to be pink-colored structures, which is a spur off the north jetty, which would interrupt the tidal current along the north jetty and interfere with the reflected wave energy, and beach fill on the eroded section of the beach. We would re-nourish that over a 50-year period at about a 12-year interval, and the federal government's expenditures would go until such time as we reached the congressionally specified limit of $26.9 million. Right now, we are updating the feasibility report. While we waited for all that to work out with Fish and Wildlife, the numbers got several years stale. We have to bring up those costs and benefits to 2016 levels before we can submit the final report to Corps headquarters for their last review and approval. Assuming that happens later this fiscal year, we anticipate next fiscal year moving into design for this project. Actual state permitting for the project would happen once the design phase was sufficiently advanced that we had final alignment, slopes, elevations on both the beach and the spur jetty. And here's the one that's in your handout, just the spur jetty and the beach fill section. The beach fill would be adjusted once we got closer to construction to account for any further erosion that's occurred since. That's the end of the navigation improvement work. And now we'll run through the non-navigation section. Any questions on navigation before we go?
Yeah, any questions, comments, or other issues?
Just a quick question. Do you have any more handouts?
There were 30 copies, more than I made last year.
Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else?
City, they need to make a decision. discussion on who is going to be the sponsor for this. Now, because of the way Section 111 works, the cost sharing isn't all that much. It's not like a navigation project. 111 design and construction are shared at the same rate as the original navigation project. And since in Saco, that was 100% federal, the only remaining non-federal funding requirements are a 50% share of renourishment going forward until we reach that $26.9 million level, and then locally funded 100% renourishment after that. There is also a requirement that the city maintain the spur jetty, but since the stonework usually doesn't require maintenance for at least 50 years once it's built, we don't anticipate that to be significant either. Those are things we'll have to work out with the sponsors once the state and the city decide how they're going to share that responsibility. Yes?
Mike, when could the city expect to see a draft of that project partnership agreement to at least begin discussions on a local and state level?
Not until after, or maybe.
I think we should, I mean, the problem we have is there's no model. We have to develop a model and submit that for approval. But I think we, at a point in time, have provided a copy of a typical agreement. And we can, I think there was one that was New York used.
The New York one or the flood control model.
But we can share with you that agreement. But we'll have to develop one specifically for this project.
Yeah. I know earlier on the city drafted one, but I don't think you have to collect that one.
I think it would be better to start with the one.
All right, well, if we could get something to start the state and local discussion, that'd be great.
Now, as part of their review of the final report, DC usually wants a letter of commitment. It's not saying that you intend to sign the cost-sharing agreement, but it is a letter that says you intend to be the sponsor moving into design. Typically, they want that as part of the submittal package for the final report.
The report you're updating right now?
Correct. So if we end up submitting that in the June timeframe, we're going to have to sit down together and figure out just what that letter needs to say.
Have a rough estimate of when could you be making applications to DC for water quality service?
I would not guess before the end of the calendar year.
Okay.
It'd probably come after.
Mm-hmm.
Water quality service? Yeah, we're putting sand and stone in state water.
You got another question?
Yeah. Yes.
It looks in the slide that you had. The other one sort of included all of the Saco River. And at one point they were combined. At another point we requested they be separated. That looks like they are part of the same project now. I mean, am I wrong on that?
That's just showing you a map of where things are.
Okay. Okay.
The 111 project is just those two things.
Okay.
They'll likely be dredging there before they get to Section 111 status.
You know what I was going on. I knew exactly where I was going. Thank you.
Any other questions? Ms. Baca. Any other questions? Yes.
Going back to the airport, Kim Tucker with the Maine Law Reunion and Sierra Hook. What is the time frame that you're talking about resurrecting this during the course of 2016? I think 2016 date here.
We don't know.
And who in D.C. specifically are you all working with? What office?
The Planning and Policy.
Their specific anything in particular that you all are looking at in terms of potholes or what specifically is now being reevaluated in this project?
We don't know yet.
When will you know?
Yeah.
I mean, before the next one, the dredge team meeting, will there be some activity taken, or will there be another dredge team meeting before that is an issue?
I don't know. The Corps and DOT have to do a lot of talking before the next dredge.